Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're going to start a new series, and the next few days and weeks we'll be teaching on the good fight of faith. If you want to know what is required to walk and fight this good fight of faith that Paul was talking to Timothy about, just stay with us and listen, and we will tell you and teach you how this thing works. At the end of the program, you'll hear some numbers of how to get this teaching free in its entirety.
Just like Louis's dad, since he was a Mason, I mean, it is absolutely amazing that the men today that are in church that go to the Masonic Lodge, or the women that go to the Eastern Star, or the Rainbow Girls, or all these little organizations, you never check them out. I mean, I do not understand how a man can take an oath. I don't understand how a grown adult male man that can go into an organization, and when he walks in to be brought into this thing, they half-dress him, put a blindfold on him, and lead him in with a little rope around his neck or whatever, depending on the lodge. And when he comes in, they say, "Who goes there?" And he says, "I am a blind, profane candidate seeking the hidden secrets of the universe." Well, if you're a child of God, you shouldn't be blind, you shouldn't be profane, and you shouldn't be seeking the hidden secrets of the universe. You ought to know what they are. They're written right there in that book. And then whenever you go on a little further, when you go to this step called the Ritual of Hiram Abiff, I do not understand how a man, a grown man that's a Christian, can become a worshipful grandmaster in a lodge, and a man can come up and you can lean over and whisper in his ear one of these two names, Mahabon or Jebulon, and tell him that's a secret name of God. If you're a Christian, did you ever find those two names anywhere in God's Word? No. I never found them in there. So I don't know how the devil can deceive a man that's a Christian to make that statement. And then tell the man you're to never give these names ever again under no conditions. And so the man starts around the room. Now this to me, this is a bunch of kid games to me, but it's very serious to the devil and to God. A man starts around the room, and every man that's already a lodge member that already knows that name, these men all grab him, begin to shake him, say, "Give me the secret name of God." And he refuses. He goes all the way around the lodge, depending on whether it's 10, 20, or 50, or 100 guys, whatever is there. And when he gets to the far end, they've all asked him to give that name, and he refuses. And then the last one takes a big hammer and symbolically kills him and knocks him down, and he falls dead on the ground. Then the worshipful grandmaster comes over and straddles him and lays a white apron across his middle, a lambskin, white and pure, and says something like this, "Now, because you have refused to give the secret name of God, you're now worthy to wear this white lambskin. You're now worthy to be resurrected from the dead and to sit with the great architect of the universe." And he symbolically raises him from the dead. Now then, it doesn't make any difference if that man was a Christian, if he was a Buddhist, if he was a Hindu, or whatever he was. According to their rules, when you raise him from the dead, he's now worthy to sit with the great architect of the universe. And you know who those men think they're talking about? They think they're talking about God, the Heavenly Father. And you know who they're talking about? Satan. In the lodge, written in their books, it says clearly, you will never use the name of Jesus in the lodge. Never. What does that tell you? It's written in their handbooks. I've read them. I'm not telling you something I don't know for fact. When I heard about this, I guarantee I went to the lodge, I checked out books, and I read them. For months, my wife and I checked every book and read them from cover to cover. And I found things in those books that the average lodge member has no clue because they never check it out. But you don't know why Christians don't know nothing? Because they don't read that book either. That you've got it at home every week. And I can ask the average Christian almost anything about that book. And you know what the average Christian knows? Nothing. So you don't know why the lodge members don't know nothing? Because they don't read the books. You don't know why it's easy for the devil to deceive us? Because you have no knowledge of what you just joined. But when you read them and check them out, you will find out you're serving the devil. How many of you know that if you go through a ritual like that, and this man is a Hindu, And because he refused to give the secret name of God, and you raised him from the dead, and he's now worthy to sit with the great architect of the universe, how many of you know that man's not saved? He ain't going to sit with the true great architect of the universe, which is God the Father. He's going to sit, or not sit, but he's going to be in the portals of hell with the devil. His eyes have been blinded by the God of this world. So any man that joined the Masonic Lodge, he puts him and his entire family under a curse. And the devil has legal right to blind your mind to the gospel. Now, if you happen to be a Mason, I'm telling you guys, I probably know a whole lot more about the Masonic Lodge than you do. I have studied it in great detail. And I'm going to tell you what I'm telling you is the truth. It's the truth. In fact, I thought I knew a lot about it, but Louise back there, after she heard me teach about that one time in a healing school similar to this, she said, I got to check this out. So she went to the internet, and they were, I don't know where all, and she began to retrieve information about the Masonic Lodge, and she gave me a notebook this thick about all these things of the Masonic Lodge. I hadn't even touched the surface. Of course, I had read many books, and all the ones I got down here at the Shriners Lodge, I had read them, and I had all the information I needed. I knew from reading those things did not line up with this book called the Word of God. No way. And of course, I've tried to tell those things to a lot of men that are Masons. And you know what the majority of them do? They tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. I walked up in church the other day. Well, it's been a couple of years ago. A man that's always been kind and gentle, loving. I mean, been a friend of mine for years. And then I saw one morning, he came out and he had his Masonic pin on his shirt, on his coat. That morning, Walt, I said, brother, good morning, how are you doing? He reached up, shook my hands, he always did. He said, praise God, Dominic, I'm doing good. I said, one of these days when you got a little time, I'd like to talk to you about that pin. That's all I said. And I'm telling you, right there in church, he blew all to pieces. Began to scream at me. Guess who manifests? A demon. That was not a man. That was a demon. Began to say, you're a fool. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. You're a complete idiot. All I said was, one day I want to talk to you about that little pin. That's all I said. But that demon knew that I knew what I was talking about. And I'm telling you, he manifested in that man. And he blew, and this man was standing in the foyer with 8 or 10 other people standing around. But did that demon care who was there? No, he didn't care. I'm telling you, when you start getting deep into the study of God's Word in the devil's world, you'll begin to understand why we have the problem we have in the church. The church don't walk holy before God. The church is tainted with sin. The Word of God teaches you and me to walk without sin. You know that? You know how many Christians I know that believe that? Very few. But that's what the Word says. In fact, a while back I made 3 tapes. I've never put them out for anybody to listen to except a few, very few people. But I'm going to do this study more in depth before I finally make those where people can come get those. But I've done a study on holiness, sanctification, and maturity, and perfect. And after several months of studying and preparing, I was making these tapes. It turned out to be 3 90-minute tapes so far. One night while I was making all the tapes, I put it on pause, and I stopped and thought I'd watch Christian television a little while. And I turned it on in some big church in Florida, and they said, the pastor was up there. He said, you know, God don't expect us to be perfect. He understands that we're just flesh and blood. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. So he said, if you make some mistakes along the way, God understands. I thought to myself, one of us is reading a different Bible. My Bible demands perfection. My Bible demands holiness. What is it we don't understand about be ye holy, for I am holy? That's pretty clear, isn't it? And a man that learns to control his tongue is perfect in all his ways. I mean, it's just over and over, all through the Word. So God expects us to be sinless. I'd have some people say, well, do you think it's possible for you to be sinless? I'm striving toward that mark, folks. Just like Paul said, I may not be there yet. But at least that's my goal. I know the goal's out there. I'm not going to say to you, if you ask me, said, do you feel like you're an unworthy sinner? I said, no. I used to be an unworthy sinner, but I'm now the righteousness of God in Christ. Who made me the righteousness of God in Christ? Jesus did. So he said, because he made me the righteousness of God in Christ and made me a joint heir with Christ, what should I act like? The devil or the king's child? I think I should act like a king's child. I think I should walk holy before the Lord. I think I should walk in love. I think I should do everything I can that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the devil. Don't you agree with that? So that's what we're supposed to be. When you begin to see yourself as a son or daughter of the King of the universe, and you've been made a king or priest or a princess, you will begin to act like that, and you'll be able to fight this fight of faith a whole lot easier, because you'll know that every answer to every promise that God made you in His Word is yes and amen every time. Now see, that's another scripture that when it locked into my heart, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Just in case you don't know where that's at, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 makes a statement. For no matter how many promises the Lord made you, in Christ, the answer to all of them is yes and amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, if you know that all of God's promises are yes and amen to you, it's a little easier to fight the fight of faith. Because what happens is, you're standing here with your arm all beat up, or a brown or blue spider bit you, and you got a short sleeve shirt on, working, and somebody comes by and says, my goodness, what happened to your arm? You need to go to a doctor. Meet your sister and brothers in Christ. Well, I got bit by a spider. Well, good grief. Go to the doctor. Look at the thing. It looks awful. Now then, if I don't know who I am, I said, well, but God promised to heal me. But Thurman, I mean, give me a break. God, give us doctors. Have a capsule. Use some common sense. Well, now all of a sudden, I got a decision to make. Who am I going to trust? God or the devil? Do I have to believe him? I mean, give me a break, Thurman. You're crazy. God gave us doctors. That's what he gave us doctors for. So you go to the doctor. I don't know about you, but I don't believe God needs a doctor to heal my body. You understand where I'm coming from? Now, if you're not there, you know, you better go to the doctor.
We're going to have to stop right there today on the teaching, but we'll start there again tomorrow. We invite you to join us again tomorrow to hear the continuation of the Good Fight of Faith. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact our ministry center at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or go to the web at www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. And there you can order these teachings as well as many other teachings free and postpaid. We would love to send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is God and Lord of all. And we praise Him and thank Him for the privilege to teach His Word.